الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the recommended dua that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us to be recited in the morning and in the evening is a dua in which we express gratitude and appreciation and acknowledgement of three great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And these three blessings are, number one, the blessing of cognizance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord. Number two, cognizance that He has blessed us with Islam, which is the path to our Lord. And number three, the blessing of having the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our messenger and as our prophet. So, more specifically, the dua is as follows. I've spoken about this here before, and it's also in our little booklet. Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ and with Islam as my deen, وَبِمُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيَّ and with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as my messenger. Now notice here in this statement, we're acknowledging three things. Number one, the fact that we have cognizance of it as Allah is our Lord. And that's a big deal, because you walk around the world today and nobody appreciates, or the vast majority of people don't appreciate who has created everything around them and who has provided for them and who has who controls everything around them, right? This is Allah, our Lord, and we have been given that cognizance. That is a huge blessing. And the second is that we're acknowledging and stating and appreciating that the blessing of Islam is our deen. Now, everybody has a way of life. They may not know it, but everybody follows something. And subhanAllah, we're not just arbitrarily following our own ideas, but rather we're following Islam, which is a path which leads us to our Lord. What is Islam essentially? What's the summary of Islam? What are the things that I can do to earn Allah's pleasure? What are the things that I need to avoid to spare myself from Allah's displeasure? And how can I be successful in this life or the next? This is essentially Islam. And we have this path. Like, you don't wake up in the morning scratching your head wondering what you need to do. If you are confused about something, you don't need to go to the bookstore and like have a conference to figure out like how am I supposed to live my life. The broad tenets of how we live life are already established for us. This is such a big blessing. We don't have to come up with the recipe, we just have to follow it, put it that way. The recipe is given to us, we just have to follow it. So this is a second huge blessing. And the third is that we have the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our messenger, meaning he's the guide along that path of Islam. So not only do we have a destination, which is the pleasure of Allah, not only do we have a path that leads to that destination, which is Islam, but we have a guide. And we have such a guide that he would pick us up himself and carry us to the destination. He wants that we reach the destination more than he himself would reach the destination. That's his desire. Now, he's at the destination, obviously, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he wants that much that we reach that destination. And not just you and I, all of humanity. That was his desire. So these three blessings are immense. And when we recite this dua in the morning and the evening, we've been told in narrations, in multiple different narrations actually, to recite this. One narration mentions reciting this three times in the morning and three times in the evening. And it's particularly mentioned there that the individual who recites this three times in the morning and three times in the evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please them on the Day of Judgment. Now, notice how this is a reciprocal relationship in the sense that we appreciate these key blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us. And when we appreciate these key blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us and show our true gratitude, then in exchange, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please us. Meaning, I am so happy and pleased with Allah, Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by expressing that from the depth of my heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in turn please me on the Day of Judgment. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the individual who recites this, jannah becomes wajib for them, mandatory for them. And in another narration, which again, it's a little weak, but it's accepted by the scholars, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that the person who recites this, he will take them by their hand to Jannah. Why? Because if we're pleased with the Prophet ﷺ as our guide, then he is going to please us as our guide by delivering us to our final destination, which is Jannah. This is a really powerful statement. It's so short and sweet, but it has so much power packed within it. Come on, how much time does it take? Think about it for a second. To recite this three times in the morning and three times in the evening, let's say you want to recite it three times in the evening now, I don't think it makes 30 seconds. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدِ نَبِيَّا 10 seconds times 3, 30. It's actually no effort, but it has such a reward. But what's important to appreciate here is that it's not merely the words that are rewarded. There's an underlying premise that creates power in these words. What's the underlying premise? That from the depth of my heart, I look at these three blessings and I say to myself, I don't need anything else. I'm absolutely happy. I'll give you an example. Imagine that you had the three flashiest cars, the three best cars. You have, I don't know what they are, Ferrari, Lamborghini, and something. Make up any example you want, whatever you guys like, okay? You open your garage in the morning, and you just look there, and you just smile and say, I'm done. What else do I need? Like, I got not one car, I got three. Or imagine if you're into jewelry, you've got like three diamonds on your finger. They're like 10 carats each. I don't know if they make 10 carat ring, but 10 carats each. What are you going to do first thing in the morning when you wake up? You're just going to like wake up and do this, right? You're going to look at those diamonds and you're going to be like, one, two, three, I'm done. Like, doesn't matter what else happens in the rest of the day. You can't give me anything more. I've got what I want. I'm already full. You know, like you go to a dinner and somebody gives you really good food. You eat, you're full. They try to put another spoon and you're like, no, I'm good. I don't need any more. This was good and I'm good. That's the attitude of the Muslim. They wake up in the morning, they look at their three rings on their finger, and they're like, wow, I am set. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. That's the attitude of the believer. And Imam Nawawi, he makes an interesting statement concerning this dua. He says that, what does it mean to be pleased? Because this is, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, I am pleased with Islam as my deen, I am pleased with Muhammad, so I send him as my messenger. So Imam Nawawi, in his commentary, he says, what does it mean to be pleased? He says, it means that I'm so contented that I want nothing more. Like, I'm so full because you gave me everything, I can't take another spoon. Now, that attitude, to start the morning and to start the evening with that attitude, the consequence of that completely changes the way that you view the world and the way that you interact with it. Because what could occur to make a person sad if they've already got everything that they need? And what would there be that could make a person happy if they already got what they need? But the problem is, instead of looking at the three rings in our finger, we're looking at everything around the world and we're letting the oscillations of life push us around. We're getting happy if we get a little trinket here, and we're getting sad if a little trinket gets deleted here. But those are nothing compared to the wealth that we have. You know, it'd be like a billionaire crying if somebody took a cent from them. It's like, imagine for a second, there's a billionaire. You go into his house, he's picking up all the pillows from his couch. You say, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, why are you taking all the pillows? I can't find my penny. You'll be scratching your head like, what? You can't find your penny? You have like three diamonds on your fingers that are each worth like $1 billion. You're looking for a penny? Or it'd be like a billionaire, you know, getting super ecstatic if they got a penny. You'd be like, what is a penny? You already got everything you need. This life is a bunch of pennies. There's nothing of value in this world. The only thing of value in this world is to achieve Allah and his pleasure, which Islam brings you to and the Prophet ﷺ delivers you to. So what is this ups and downs? I understand it's human nature to have ups and downs. I'm not denying that. But what is this fixation on, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. Or I got this and I got that. And nobody in this room, everybody in this room knows that those things never satiate you anyway. Just as a simple example, I'll just tell you, let's just be very clear. I would be willing to argue, could make a very strong argument, that every person in this room, every person in this room is living better than the kings 100 or 200, let's make it 200 years ago. 200 years ago, the king did not have air conditioning, did not have heating, did not have cooling, did not have running water, did not have instant communication, could not have fruits outside of their season, did not have refrigeration, did not have storage, did not have like 15 orange juices that you can choose from in the grocery store, did not have like aisles and aisles and aisles of food from all over the world anytime they desired, could not press a button and have food delivered to their door whenever they thought of a type of food. That none of the kings in the world experienced that. But if you were to ask the people in the world, what could I be? I wish I could be this king. I would live such a perfect life. We have everything that a king did not have 200 years ago. We live better lives. We have health. We have longer lives. We don't have to fear all the diseases that are out there. We have all these different technologies that have, quote unquote, advanced us. Yet we experience the same symptoms that they did. What is that symptom? That symptom is not appreciating the blessings that we have and instead wanting more. And that's a type of disease. To not look at the blessings that we have and to desire something beyond all of the world that's been given to us. Now, by the way, this is the primordial fallacy. Why is this the primordial fallacy? Because think about it for a second. When our spiritual grandparents, Hawa and Adam alayhim salam, were in Jannah, you understand that we weren't here. This is not home. We've just been delivered here as some sort of like test. It's like a musibah. It's a headache. This place is a headache. It's not home. We're waiting to go home. Home is Jannah. We've been like expelled from home temporarily as a test. Our grandparents were in Jannah. They were in their home. And what was their circumstance while they were there? They were told that they could partake of all of Jannah, meaning they had the availability of all of Jannah to them. And what happened? Sorry, they had the availability of all of Jannah with one exception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to them, do not partake of this tree. In fact, more specifically, do not go near this tree because you will wrong yourselves. Okay, now think about it for a second. Every single blessing of Jannah is absolutely available. What more could be desired? Except this one little tree that's like, relatively speaking, little, that is prohibited. But what happens? Shaitan recognizes that this inherent weakness in human beings and says, oh, you know that tree? It's in the Quran. You can look at the story. You know that tree? That tree gives angelic characteristics or makes you live forever. Now what happens? Instead of focusing on the wide swath of all of the Jannah, human nature, through the whispering of Shaitan, takes attention to the one thing I don't have. And so because Shaitan was able to leverage the one thing I don't have, now we're stuck with this headache of being tested in this world and having to survive the test in order to achieve success in the hereafter. Because that led to the expulsion from Jannah. This disease is the same disease that all human beings have the potential to suffer from, and I'd argue that we actually are suffering from it constantly. We've been given so much, But we have this habit of looking at all the things that other people have and wondering why we don't have that when we actually don't even need it. And this dua is actually reminding us of the true wealth that Allah has blessed us with. First of all, from a material perspective, one of the very important principles of our deen is that we do hijab from the dunya. We don't look at what other people have and wish that we have that. We look at what we've been given and we're grateful for that. And already argued on a material perspective, we're already ahead of the kings of 200 years ago. And that was just materially. I'm not even talking about spiritually. We're just talking about materially. Materially, every single one of us is far ahead of even the kings of 200 years ago. So what's more to be desired? But no, the world has to advertise to us. People have to advertise to us. Advertisers are convincing us to buy a bunch of things that we don't need. People are convincing us that they have something sparkly and shiny and that we too should be having that. You're competing against the Joneses, as they say. So this is a first point, or first responsibility for all of us to appreciate the blessings that Allah has given us. We should fully appreciate and we should be completely drowned in gratitude to Allah for the material blessings that we've been given. The health, the wealth, the time, the ability, etc. But then we have to go another level beyond as Muslims. And we have to appreciate that even though we've been given such material blessings, we have to then recognize that they're actually not worth anything. Because the material world is passing and has no reality to it. The only thing that matters is to appreciate Allah as our Lord, to have Islam as our way, and to follow the message and the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. And so when that gets put into perspective, then the material stuff that we've been given completely gets pushed to the side, and instead we begin to realize that, hey, no matter what I have materially, it doesn't even matter because I am so content. I'm so full. I'm so happy with these three blessings that the world could disappear. It doesn't matter to me. That's the message that we're trying to express when we make this dua. Dua is not about a bunch of words. You know, I just read this every morning. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil Islam deena wa bi Muhammad nabiya. Next, next, next. I read it three times. Next. No. Dua is an expression from the heart. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." Dua is the core of ibadah. What does that mean? It's the core of ibadah. What is ibadah? Ibadah is the expression of the reality of our existence, that this is Allah, my creator, this is who I am in need and completely dependent upon his blessings. I'm asking for him, I'm asking from him for something because I know that no one else in the world can provide it. That chasm has to exist in order for true dua to be present. And that's what it means when it's said dua is the core of ibadah. Because ibadah is essentially worship, meaning we're raising Allah and lowering ourselves. So when we make a dua, for example, like we just spoke about in the beginning, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِالْ مُحَمَّدْ نَبِيَّا. This is not just some words that we're speaking because we memorize them or we read them from a page. These are coming from the heart. So that means that in my heart, I'm literally looking at these three diamond rings on my finger, spiritual, metaphysical diamond rings, and I'm saying, I have the cognizance of Allah. I have Islam to deliver me to Allah's pleasure. And I have the Prophet ﷺ who's picking me up by my hand and taking me to my destination. So what do I need? What do I need? Materially, I've already been made a king or a queen. So that, let's just throw that away for a second, just on a rational argument level. And now metaphysically, I've got the only three things that matter. I am a trillionaire, and wallah, trillionaire is an under-expression. It's an under-exaggeration. You trillionaire does not even, I don't have a word in English to capture the wealth of these three diamonds on our fingers. There's no word to capture this because it's the essence of everything. It's all that matters on the day of judgment and in the grave. And in fact, isn't that what the test is going to be in the grave? The first thing that's going to happen when we get to the grave after a quick triage, we're going to be asked three questions. What are those three questions? Who is your Lord? What is your deen? Who is your messenger? These three questions are the questions that define what happens to us downstream of the grave. And these three answers are given in this exact statement. But where does that statement come from? It comes from the heart. On the day when we're in the grave, we're not going to be reciting some supplications from a book like, who is my messenger? Wait, let me look that one up. I used to recite this thing. No. That's the hard part of the test is that what's in the heart is going to be exposed. You know, like on the day of judgment, what's going to be exposed is that our hearts are going to be squeezed as if a glass is beneath them, and the sins are going to come out, and the goodness is going to come out. The truth of who we are is actually going to be exposed. The grave is the beginning of that. When these three questions are asked, it's not a memory question. It's not, do I remember the answers that I was, you know, trained to give? It's, what does my heart say? Is my heart full of looking at what the rest of the world has and never being happy with what's in my closet? Never being happy with what's in my pantry? Always wanting more than what's in my garage? What is that? That's just a deception. We have been given the three most valuable things in existence. Imagine for a moment, where would we be if we didn't know our destination was the pleasure of Allah? What would we be pursuing? Imagine that even if we knew the destination was Allah, but we didn't have the path to get to the destination, we would be holding conferences, scratching our head, trying to come up with what is Islam. And imagine if we didn't have a guide who actually loves us and wants us to succeed more than he would have wanted himself for himself. Loves us like his children. You know, like a parent wants more for themselves than they more for their children than they want for themselves. The Prophet ﷺ is like our spiritual parent, literally desiring to pick us up and deliver us to the destination. These are such gems that we have to learn to express, we have to learn to appreciate them and express them from our heart. And this is what Imam Nawawi is saying in his commentary. He's saying to be pleased with Allah, Islam, and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is to be so satiated that I don't want anything more. You give me $1 million or you take from me $1 million, it doesn't change me. You know, like they say that the scholars of the past, the mashayikh of the past, like you'd put something really, really valuable in front of them and they would get it, they wouldn't smile. You would take something from them, away from them, they wouldn't frown. Because these things were nothing, they were immaterial to them. Although they're material, they were immaterial to them. What they had was far more valuable than what they could be given. Nobody can give me anything more than what I've already been given. I got three diamonds on my hands. And nobody can take from me anything that's going to be of any value because I've got three diamonds on my hands. This is the attitude and understanding of the Muslim. And by the way, this is what brings the Muslim to ultimate peace. Because I don't have to worry about the oscillations of the people of the world. I'm not caught up. I'm not playing in their game. I'm not playing in that arena. I'm on a whole nother level. You think like if you go watch like a Little League baseball game, you're going to like be cheering and crying as if you won the World Series? No, it's like a Little League. You can't even compare. It's like the Little League versus like the World Series. Like I'm like in the Super Bowl and I'm crying about like I lost my game when I was playing flag football in fifth grade recess. Who does that? Who does that? These three blessings, every Muslim wakes up in the morning and has to appreciate these three blessings over everything else. And if a person appreciates these three blessings, so many of their problems will simply disappear. Look, is life perfect? Is everybody in our life going to be perfect? Is my job going to be perfect? Is my income going to be perfect? Is my spouse going to be perfect? Is every human being around me going to be perfect? Are my neighbors going to be perfect? Is my house going to be perfect? No, because this is not a place of perfection to begin with. This is not a place of perfection to begin with. Everything is inherently imperfect in this world. But what is perfect? These three blessings are perfect. That's what we should be grateful for. And if we see them for what they truly are, then so much peace arises in the heart of a believer because they begin to see the rest of the world for what it truly is, which is limited and passing relative to the permanent and lasting blessings of Jannah. So this is a dua that we should recite three times a day. Three times, by the way, the assignment from the sunnah is to recite this three times in the morning and three times in the evening. And we should recite this three times in the morning and three times in the evening, but I'm just reminding you that we should recite it holding our hearts and looking at our fingers, meaning in this metaphysical, this example that I'm giving, just establishing an example, looking at our fingers and just saying, I got these three diamonds, what else do I need? I'm starting my day this way, I'm starting my night this way, everything else is immaterial. And that's the truth. And that brings tremendous peace, it brings tremendous happiness, and by the way, it keeps us focused on the things that really matter. Because look, if I've got these three diamonds on my finger, and I appreciate the values of these three diamonds, that tell me, what am I going to do for the rest of the day? I'm going to be guarding these three things. I'm going to guard my relationship with Allah, I'm going to guard my Islam, and I'm going to guard my connection with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because these are the three things that make me who I am. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate all of the continuous and immeasurable blessings that He's bestowed upon us. May He make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the blessings of Islam, and the blessings of appreciating Him as our Lord, and the blessings of having the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as our guide. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent in His dhikr and remembrance, and may He make us amongst those who make dhikr and remembrance and dua truly from the depth of our hearts. Wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.